This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Check out the AMI app on the Apple App Store as well as the Google Play Store for your AMI TV content. All available in one place, on demand, of course, and you can download it or stream it. Everything on there is available with described video and closed captioning. So you're all set for that AMI TV original content. Again, search for AMI TV on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Right now, you're listening to Kelly and Company on AMI Audio, and I'm Ramia Amuddin here with Danielle McLaughlin.
We hang out with reps from the AMI TV gang every Monday on Kelly and Company. Today, we're joined by Alex Smythe from Toronto to talk about Postcards from Muskoka, the dreams of cottage country. How are you doing, Alex?
Right. I'm doing quite well. I kind of wish I was up there dreaming of the cottage country once again, but all things considered, I'm doing well.
Oh, I'm glad. So the first Postcards episode of the season aired on December the 31st, and you profiled the Muskoka region. Why did you choose that location?
Yeah, so there's a few reasons for that. This Postcard from Muskoka was our first episode of Postcards from since the pandemic started. So we wanted to choose a location that had some flexibility built into the activities, the locations, and the overall feel of the show. If, for instance, you know, cases suddenly rose or situations changed and we had to adapt on the fly, as often is the case when working in television, you have to always adapt. So we wanted, Muskoka just spoke to us as a really great location. Not only is there's always tons of things to do in the different towns in the region, but you have the cottage country, as you said off the top. You know, there's so much you can do at a cottage. There's the outdoors you can experience. There's the great food. There's all these fun little things that we felt, okay, let's focus on that. But then also on top of that too, it was the season in which we were planning to shoot it. We wanted something that would work for the fall because that was when we were able to do the activities. And there's a ton of great beauty in the region, especially come fall time, the leaves start changing. So it really just spoke to us as, yes, let's start here. That's going to be the start of our season.
That's awesome. Well, really great adaptivity and also just checking in on what would work and what may not work. So kind of being able to tweak those plans beforehand. So we know that TV production takes some time. So the episode just aired, but it took some time to film, I'm assuming, and put it all together behind the scenes. When did you exactly film in Muskoka?
Yeah, so this was filmed the last week of September. I believe that was when we went up there. We may have crept into the beginning of October, but that was really when we filmed. So, you know, obviously it aired December 31st. There was a few months in between for the post-production on it, but we were up there. The fall season was kind of starting right when we kind of arrived. It was a bit warmer when we got there, kind of surprising. Oh, I could wear a short sleeve shirt. It was nice. But then by the end of it, it was, okay, I'm in a jacket full time. The leaves are all changing, starting to change their colors, things like that. The cottagers have gone home for the season. And that was an unexpected kind of thing that I really enjoyed about the episode was the fact that we kind of really got a sense of what the region was like outside of the summer rush of all the cottagers, all the visitors. This was the time for locals to enjoy and explore the region they call home.
So when you were up there, what were you doing?
All sorts of stuff. We started with some of the history of the region. We visited a couple key indigenous sites at in Midland, which is just kind of on the south end of Georgian Bay, where we learned about the Huron-Wendat people in two different and distinctive settlement sites. And so we saw a pre-contact village. We learned about first kind of contact in the first village of the Muskoka region and the cooperation between the French and the Wendat people. We learned about the food of the region. We visited a restaurant. We visited a local brewery, one of my favorites, Muskoka Brewery. It was great to go and try some of their beers, even though it was, the weather at the time did not cooperate and I was freezing cold outside, but it was still good. And I got to spend time with some Nigerian pygmy goats, which, you know, is not something I expected to do. When I first started thinking about the Muskoka region, I don't think of goats and farms, but that was a really fun surprise to be able to go and take a herd of like 50 goats out on a walk into a pasture and just have them climb all over me. It was definitely something I'm going to remember for a long time.
Wow. Now, I heard a hint about a dip in the lake. Did you go swimming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I couldn't quite let things go without taking a dip in Lake Muskoka itself, even though it was the end of September, even though the temperature was probably as a high, maybe 10, 11 degrees out. My team were very persistent on ensuring that they got the shot of me in the water. So, we actually end the dock with me.
You didn't persuade them.
No.
It was the opposite.
I made the mistake one time saying, yeah, sure, I'll do it. You know, I did a polar bear dip in Alberta. This is fine. This is nothing. They're like, okay, well now it's time for your water shot. Oh, okay. So, you know, I jumped in. I won't say how long I stayed in, but I was definitely in the water. And yeah, if you stay to the end, you watch it, you'll enjoy me getting in the water. And if you stay past the credits, we've taken inspiration from the Marvel movies, that there may be a little bit of a post-credit scene just following up the aftermath of me in the water. But
nice.
You know, that's for the viewers who really want to stay to the end and get all the information.
Sounds worth it to me.
Yep. Do you want to let us in on the archery and axe throwing?
Yeah, that was another fun activity I got to do. You know, this is the problem. I did so much. I am leaving out all sorts of different activities. So axe throwing, right, and archery. I've done both, but I've done them kind of more in the I guess like the urban environment. So, you know, you go to a business downtown that has like these cages that you can throw an axe, or you go to an archery range indoors and shoot some bows. But this was operated by Find Your Wild out in Huntsville, and the owner operator Hondo, a character onto himself. I mean, this guy, like, I could have spent all week just hanging out with Hondo, and I'm pretty sure we would have gotten a great documentary out of that. But yeah, he was a great teacher. You know, he gave me the lowdown of how to throw the axes, how to line up the shots for archery, and then just, you know, positive reinforcement, encouragement, making sure I was able to hone in my skills and hit the target. And thankfully I did. There was a couple bullseyes I got on and off screen. Unfortunately, some practice ones were a bit better than the ones I was filming on screen, but it was a ton of fun, and I highly recommend anyone who wants to head up to Huntsville, you got to go and check in with Hondo. He is going to make sure you are going to have a blast regardless of the season. He is operating things all year round.
Well, Ramya knows something about axe throwing.
So does Danielle and Julie.
Yes. I am married to someone who thought he was a very good axe thrower until we went
until
out
they
with
a blindfold on.
Yeah, and then he was very dangerous. Did you ever feel that you were dangerous, Alex?
No, because I feel you have to be somewhat accurate to be dangerous. you know,
oh no,
there was a couple times
I think the complete opposite.
Yeah, well, there was a couple times Sergio, our videographer, he was like trying to line up the camera behind the target or off to the side. It's like, okay, you're gonna step away, right? Yeah, no, I'll be fine up here. It's like, okay. There was one time when we were at the archery range, and he wanted to get a shot like him beside the target and me shooting. And I was like, okay, first off, I know my aim is not too bad. I was kind of hitting them coupled together, but I wasn't hitting the bullseye. So I was like, okay, how about I aim to the target to the left? So there's a bit more leeway, because the last thing you want, it was like the second or third day of shooting. Last thing you want is you have to explain to your bosses why your videographer has an arrow sticking out of his arm, you know, for the rest of the shoot. It might impact the how we film the rest of the episode. So we did it. No issues, no calls for emergency aid or axe wounds or archery wounds. So I think that's pretty successful.
I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, tell us moving forward, Alex, Postcards From is going to have a little bit of a different field from what we might be used to from the past episodes. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah. So with the Postcards in the past, you know, each AMI This Week team kind of would take on different episodes. So we would have different hosts, different teams working in front and behind the camera to show, like, highlight and showcase these different amazing places throughout the country. But starting with this season and going forward, we've kind of made a bit of a change. And so we have a single team now that's going to be focusing on and working on Postcards From going forward. So for me, that means I'm now the permanent host of the show. So every single episode, I'm going to be the host, taking you guys along for the journey to kind of highlight what there is to see, do, experience, try, taste in the different regions. And that also goes to with the team behind the camera as well. We have the same producer, same videographer working on. And really what we wanted to accomplish with that is just making sure there's a bit more consistency and a bit more the tone stays the same from episode to episode. Each one's going to feel different. Each one's going to look different, but there's still with having that same team behind and in front of the camera working on it, it'll feel more connected from episode to episode. And that's really what we were hoping to achieve with that.
Well, this sounds really exciting. Just quickly, in the moment we have left, where can we catch this?
Yeah, so you the premiere for Postcards From Muskoka was on the 31st on AMI TV. But that said, it's repeating all the time, so you can check it on AMI TV. You can also visit the website at AMI.ca, or you can check it out through the app at the AMI TV app for iOS and Android.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Join us on Mondays for a chat with the AMI TV gang.
In the next hour of Kelly and Company, we're talking about Easter Seals Ontario because they're celebrating 100 years of their services. Also, we have our conversation with Danielle McLaughlin on Know Your Rights regarding the settlement between the Canadian government and First Nations families. But after the break, we're checking in with Vancouver reporter, community reporter, Julia Bennett, about what she has to say about what's going on in Vancouver's disability community. We'll be right back with that. This is Kelly and Company.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.